because you inherently know you are worthy, you are valuable, and nothing outside of you has anything to do with your worth or value. Yes, there is feedback out there, but just because someone says something about you, or you don't get the best performance review, or the client doesn't want to work with you, does not mean anything is wrong or bad about you until you say that, until you make that true for you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Women Who Lead Summit. And today I am thrilled to feature an exceptional leader whose mission is transforming the way we show up in life and in leadership. I've had her on the podcast before. She's absolutely amazing. You're going to love her. Okay. I want you to meet Tiffany Hauser. If you didn't see that episode on the podcast, you need to go check that out as well. She is the founder of Evolve. She's an executive coach, leadership development facilitator, and she really is the creator of this framework. It's called the Self-Worth Advantage Framework. Now, Tiffany specializes in helping leaders and founders break free from their insecurities and fears and imposter syndrome, all of that, and turning them into this foundation of self-worth and trust and authenticity and impactful leadership. And you guys know we love talking about leadership. And this event, this thing that we are doing for all of you is to make sure that you show up authentically and know that you are worth and know that you have this impactful place in the world. And her unique approach really equips leaders to not only understand who they are, but to build a compassionate, empowered, and high-performing teams to inspire innovation and inclusivity. Now, today, I really am excited to have her here because she is here to speak to you. And she is here to speak to you about breaking free from imposter syndrome and tackling the fears and limiting beliefs that we all have, because you are not alone on this. We all go through this, okay? So I want you to prepare to gain powerful insights, actionable strategies, and to overcome what holds you back. So go ahead and grab your pen. Grab a piece of paper, because I'm going to be welcoming this amazing woman onto the stage, and I want to make sure that you guys are prepared to grab that wisdom. So thank you so much for being here today, and I'm going to have her pop right on. Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Nina. And hello to everyone watching and listening.
I am really excited that you're here. I mean, we had such a great conversation the last time you were here. And I had to have you back because this summit is really for empowering these women to break free from a lot of things that are holding them back from creating either the coaching business or their entrepreneurial journey or leadership. And so I really am grateful that you said, yes, I'll do it. And we're talking about imposter syndrome today. So I wanted to really lean into your genius here because I remember us touching on it a bit on the podcast. But it is super exciting that you're here to really like impact these women in this way. So we're just going to get into it. Okay. Ready?
Do it.
Let's do it. Okay. So imposter syndrome it seems to be a buzzword and what a lot of people are talking about, right? But what I want you to let these women know is what are their first signs of having imposter syndrome or these limiting beliefs? And how can someone recognize these feelings? Because these feelings are blocking them, right? So how can they recognize these feelings that are blocking them from their full potential?
Great question. And, you know, I'm going to start by unpacking imposter syndrome, because this is something that when I came across the thought around this, it really landed and resonated for me. And it was an article in, I believe, the Harvard Business Review. I think it came out in 2022. I'll find the link for everyone listening and watching. And really, I think the title was really explicit. Stop saying you or we have imposter syndrome. Mm. And really what the author was sharing was we do not have a syndrome. There's nothing wrong or bad about us.
Yes,
feeling this way.
Yeah.
So feeling this way is highly common. In fact, I'm sure if we could see everyone raise their hand, if I asked someone to raise their hand, have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt not good enough, not smart enough, not old enough, not young enough, whatever? I think actually, I know we would all raise our hand. I'm raising my hand if you happen mm-hmm. to be listening. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is, we have these imposter feelings. We do not have a syndrome. And so just checking that piece first, noticing, like, let's notice the language we're using around this so we don't, you know, keep poking holes in our self-worth and in our value, you know, as self on self. And so, you know, the question you asked was, what are some of the signs that we can identify or notice when this is happening to us? And again, you know, what I'm about to say, I know this is going to be like, oh, okay. You know, it's going to land for all of us. And really, for all of us, it could be physical, it could be mental, and it could be energetic. And I know energetic may be a little esoteric for some people, but really, you know, I'm thinking about it now because I can see on this thing, my face is starting to get red. Like, you could see my cheeks are getting a little rosy. So that is a sign of feeling like an imposter. And it's just a physical indicator that you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So the first signs of this feeling are feelings of discomfort, and not like, oh, my stomach is, you know, like, oh, I got a headache. But I mean, like, your feeling, your state of awareness around either the conversation you're in, the input or the content that you're receiving. And then, you know, the internal thought process around it is you start to think, and I don't like to use the word less, but for sake of time, you start to think less of yourself. Mm. So being as if you are not enough. And I shared a couple of those not enoughness already. And, you know, when we do this as a workshop or in a retreat, if we're booked for a session, we kind of leave that blank. I am not blank enough. And we have a fun, you know, we have fun with it because, again, none of us are immune to this. We're all feeling this at all points in our life and not consistently. I'd like to really share that piece. This is nothing any of us are feeling consistently, yet it's happening. And the three main areas that I have people look at are areas of new. Are you in some sort of new environment or new setting, new relationship? Mm-hmm. Have you met someone new? Change. Is something changing or has something changed that you're involved in? Even a conversation. Nina, have you ever been in a conversation and it's going well and all of a sudden it takes a very interesting turn and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So change will evoke these feelings as well. And then the last is intense. So it may not be new and it might be changing, but it's getting intense for you and maybe the other person or people. And I say intense because sometimes we receive an email or we receive a message that we're just reading and all of a sudden the news, it becomes intense for us. Maybe there's layoffs coming or maybe a customer said no, or, you know, maybe, our rates went up for our web service, something like that. And you start to feel this feeling. And again, it starts with a physical feeling. There's a physical discomfort. And from that physical discomfort, you start to make up stories about yourself. And so that's kind of how it starts, you know, broad based, but, yeah. And again, it's so fascinating to start to identify this because when you take the time to actually unpack it and identify what it is, and women, I want you to hear me on this next part, and what it isn't, bold cap, highlight, circle, star that piece, what it's not.
Yeah.
Start to support yourself in really grounding into your self-worth, grounding into your value, and grounding into what really is happening in the moment.
So good and so true. And it's because of our maps, right? We all get to this place in life in a different journey. And so you're right, perspective, the way you look at something, and it doesn't always have to do with you either. It's just external circumstances that you have to right size, right?
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, you know, to a lot of women here who are entrepreneurs or are considering becoming entrepreneurs. And one of the things I hear the most, because I coach a lot of founders and founders that are, you know, working with or about to work with investors, and that loss of customer or a customer saying no or a customer not renewing or not meeting the revenue goal, they start without this resourcing and this framework that I've developed, they start to beat themselves up over it. It's my fault. I'm bad. Oh my gosh, I don't look good. I didn't measure. Mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, you know, strong enough to be a leader of this thing, or strong enough or have the fortitude to be an entrepreneur or a founder. And really, that has nothing to do with you as an individual. Any of this news information, these external factors that you referenced, none of them have to do with your worth or your value. Hence, the term is called self-worth. So the key right. thing is only you can giveth and taketh away. It has nothing to do with how anyone is treating you. It has nothing to do with how the economy is doing or how, you know, the it's raining. Oh, woe me. I can't go to the beach. That has nothing to do with you. Yet the challenge is, you know, when we're not in a clean and clear mindset space, when our internal thought process is not cleaned up and cleared up, we do start pointing the finger at ourselves and we start mm-hmm. identifying as the mistake, the failure, the rejection, the, you know, missed goal, the, you know, the miscalculation, whatever that may be.
Tiffany, thank you so much for that because that's so insightful. So my next question to you is, how does fear play a role when it comes to limiting beliefs?
Yeah, I smile at that because fear, okay, that was a word twist. Fear is the fuel for our limiting beliefs. If you have a limiting belief, there is fear that is pushing it to the forefront of your awareness. And it is birthed, if you will, from a fear. So they are absolutely 100% connected because only fear limits anything that we think. I mean, yeah, there's limits to physical aspects of life and tangible things in life, but our thought and our, you know, our aptitude, our opportunity, our possibilities can only be limited by a fear. So that's such a great question.
That's really good. And that's true, right? So I want you to speak to these women about what mindset shifts, right? What can they do to start moving past that fear? Because yeah. a lot of us have it. So what kind of mindset tricks do you have for these women to move past it and, you know, go into their greatness?
Yeah, great. So roll up your sleeves because the first one is identifying the fear. What is the fear? What are you actually afraid of? Because I just did a workshop at a company here in South Florida, and the workshop was around emotional intelligence and growth mindset. And we talked about the language lab, which is one of our tools within the Self-Worth Advantage framework. And really the way we speak and the language we use to describe and just, you know, convey what we want or what we're up to are telling you a lot about where your mindset is. So the first word we workshop in the language lab is hard. And not hard texture wise, but hard to describe something that's not easy. And the first thing I do in this part of the workshop is I have people either pull out their phones or their computers, and I have them go to their email and just in the search bar, type in the word hard and look how many times it comes up in the messages they wrote and the messages they receive. And then we go into, before I set it up, I just have them do that. And then the first question I ask is what occurs to you when you hear the word hard? And then they share or write it down, you know, depending on the aspect of what we're doing. And then the second question is, how does the word hard make you feel? So when you are describing something as hard, when you are thinking something is hard, when something is told to you that it's hard, where does your mindset, your energy, your attention and focus go? And for most people, it goes into low energy. It goes into, I don't want to do it. So we might procrastinate, or we just don't do it at all. We just, I'm not. So we avoid it and we jump into something new. And really, the word hard, we start to then self-identify. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the skills. I'm not talented enough because this is too hard. And so depending on some other nuances in your mindset, you can go two different ways. You could either go into the compromised self-worth, which there's two states of self-worth. There's compromised self-worth and grounded self-worth. Grounded self-worth is when you are grounded in your value and your worth. You are not identifying with anything that is happening, any feedback you're receiving, the way anyone's treating you, because you inherently know you are worthy, you are valuable, and nothing outside of you has anything to do with your worth or value. Yes, there is feedback out there, but just because someone says something about you, or you don't get the best performance review, or the client doesn't want to work with you, does not mean anything is wrong or bad about you until you say that, until you make that true for you. And so the compromised self-worth is only we can do that to ourselves. Only we can compromise our self-worth. So nobody is compromising our self-worth. And really, there is no low or high self-worth either. So there is no scale of like, or degree or level of self-worth. You either are grounded in it or you're compromising it. That's it. And nothing externally can impact it. It's only you, which is great. It's great to know that only you can impact your self-worth. And so going into the compromised self-worth, there's two layers of that. The common imposter feeling is pointing the finger at you. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the tools or resources to do this. And so we will shut down, tend to shut down, over procrastinate, and feel bad about that. The other imposter feeling that comes out when we're in this compromised state is the toxic imposter feelings. Now, the toxic imposter feelings are exactly the same as the common, yet instead of pointing the finger at self, we project it out onto our team, our partner, our colleagues, our clients, whomever, because we are unwilling or unable, whatever's going on in our own, it's not, you know, a blanket experience. And we can swing from common into toxic and toxic back into common. That's how interesting this experience is with all these insecurities. But the toxic imposter is really about us projecting out this not enoughness onto other people. And again, I specifically work with leaders and founders who have teams of people. And so when they do this, they are grinding their people, overworking their people, micromanaging their people, judging their people constantly. And what tends to happen when it's an extreme case of toxic imposter, they're focusing on everything that's going wrong or could go wrong, all the mistakes that could happen, or looking at the person as not good enough. So they're not even holding their team high or their leaders high. They're already in a state of, this isn't going to work. And so when we're on the other side of the common imposter, sometimes we don't even put our name in the hat, or we don't even put ourselves into the game, because we already fear the rejection or the worst case scenario, because that's what we're letting consume our mind thought, our mindset. And so we won't go after clients that may be in the next tier, or may, you know, we may not have any contacts or network connections to. And because we make up stories, well, they don't know me, that my product isn't strong enough, or my service isn't strong enough, or it's too expensive, or it's too, you know, it's not costly enough, or not top tier or platinum enough. I've heard that so many times. And so it's first going back, identifying the fear. And really, it's identifying the insecurity. What is really going on with me? What am I afraid of? And really identifying it. We say name it to tame it. Because if we're not identifying it, we're just saying, oh, well, it's too hard, or it's impossible, or I'm not good enough. Okay, what do you think, or what do you believe you are not good enough at? Write it out. What is it? And then whatever you write out, what about that is true? And what about that is not true? And just that second step of getting clear on what's true and what's not true will give you so much insight. And it'll, we call that filling up the bank to get you back into your grounded self-worth state. Because, and I laugh because I've done this work. I've gone through the self-worth advantage. I am the guinea pig, if you will, because the work is a collective and an aggregate of so many different bodies of work, that I get a giggle out of this now because I know I'm only doing this to myself. This client over here, or my teammate, or my boss, when I used to have bosses, they're not feeling or thinking anything that I am coming up with in my storytelling, fear-based limiting belief system. Nothing of like that is even in their realm. They're not thinking anything like that. I'm just doing that to myself. And so when you are able to identify, and then the second step of self-worth advantage is understand it, which a lot of people skip, by the way, Nina. A lot of people identify what the issue is, and then they want to go right into solving, fixing. They want the strategy. They want the tool. Yet in our framework, we create the space and the resources in this step to understand, what does this mean? What does this actually mean? What am I making it mean? Where is it actually coming from? Because I can tell you what, that work in and of itself will take you so far in all of your relationships in and out of your professional environment. When you understand what it is about you that please, you know, wants to please people and say yes when it's not a yes for you, what it is about you that always compares yourself to someone else, what it is about you that is always trying to reach for perfection, and when you don't, you beat yourself up over it. When you understand that piece, you can then move into the third and fourth steps, which are reconciling and resolving these issues, which reconciling is you reconciling with you, you creating clarity for yourself around the experience, the insecurity, and what it really is about. And then resolving is resolving it with other people, or with your journey as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a wife, as a mother, whatever your journey is. And just so you know, one of the paradigms in our body, our bigger body of work, our transformational coaching framework, is the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And so it's interesting because I work with men and women. And, you know, they show up in such a way at work or with their company. And then they tell me all these things. I don't show up this way with my partner or my spouse. I don't show up this way with my kids. I don't show up this way with my family or my community. And I wish I could. And really, Nina, we're going to get into the nitty gritty now. Really, that's a choice. That's a choice, because you have access to the confidence, the clarity, the resourcefulness, the resiliency, the critical thinking. You have all of that. You're just choosing in other domains of your life to not access it. And I guarantee you it's because of one of these top five common ways we compromise our self-worth.
That was so good and like so full of information, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the takeaways I think I took, especially from the beginning, because one of my questions to you is going to be, you know, what are some daily or weekly practices that these women can incorporate, right, to actively reframe their thoughts and start building that confidence? And you talked about, you know, writing it down, right? Looking at it, writing it down, asking yourself if this is true, right? So are there other practices that you would give that they can write down to take with them so that they can start building that confidence?
Yes. There is, and let me just go back to where I left off, those five common ways we compromise our self-worth. And that's actually the free gift that I'm giving away. You'll have a worksheet and a guide that shows you these five, which are perfectionism, comparison, overworking, busyness, and people-pleasing. And really, the actionable step that I can give besides going through this worksheet and really understanding, because sometimes people don't know where to start. They're like, I feel this way, but I don't know what to call it. I don't know what it is. So here, I will give you the top five. And again, they're not in any order. And of course, there are more than five ways we feel insecure and five ways we compromise our self-worth. Yet these are the highest and the ones we see the most. The other piece is called a personal leadership debrief. This is something I do with myself, with my team, and with all of my clients. All of my clients get this tool immediately because it's so useful. And really, it's a part of the growth mindset, which is another piece that we coach everyone on. And the debrief is really a set of four questions. And the debrief we use anytime we either get the result that we want or we don't. Because what tends to happen with our self-worth, when we get the result that we want, yay, we're amazing, things are awesome, and we don't debrief it. We don't understand how we got that result. And what also happens when we don't get the result that we want, if we are choosing to compromise our self-worth, we take ourselves to the toilet. We start to think of how bad we are, how bad the offer was, how bad the meeting went, how like terrible this business is that we thought we started, how terrible we are as a leader, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so this debrief, these four simple questions, and it's more elaborate, but four simple questions are: what is working or what worked? Because sometimes we need to debrief in the middle of the process. So what is working or what worked? And I'll tell you, if you're running any intricate programs or processes or launches or, you know, hiring or turnover, start this debrief process in the middle. Don't wait until it's all the way over. So what's working or what worked? And really listen to that question: what's working and what worked? Not what worked about me, what worked about them. What worked about the way I showed up, the way I approached it, my process with this? Because again, you want to take your identity and you out of the picture. Now, you are in the picture because part of what worked is what you decided, what, you know, how you approached it, how you showed up. Were you thoughtful? Were you judgmental? Were you inclusive? Were you open-minded? Were you excited? What worked about it? And then the second question is, what didn't work? And that is a question that we tend to want to answer first, especially when we don't get the result. So what didn't work? Again, it's not about, oh, well, I made a mistake, I didn't send it on time, or the price was wrong. It's okay, the price didn't work, but not because I chose that, not because like I made a mistake in the, okay, great, feedback. I learned the price didn't work for whatever, and find the reason why the price didn't work. The third question is actually one of my favorites, and it's an optional question. It's what was missing or what is missing? And that is where we do our detective work, because a lot of times, especially when our energy is in the toilet, our focus is down in that compromise self-worth, like I'm not good enough, smart enough, it's not going to work out, they're never going to say yes, or I don't have the funds or the budget. Bring yourself up. What's missing? What else could I look at? How else can I show up? What other areas or aspects am I not seeing or could be possible here? And that is such a growth mindset state. That is such a powerful state to be in, because you're in your critical thinking. That's where your creativity and your innovation exist. What else? Getting curious, getting really, really curious about what else have we not looked at? What else have we not experimented with? Where can we redesign? How can we redesign? And again, that's detective work, but I don't want anyone to go looking for what's missing, because sometimes nothing is missing. We just look at what worked, what didn't work sometimes. Yet most times there's something else we could explore. And then the fourth question is, what now or what next? So now you devise your plan of how you approach again. Because another thing about the growth mindset and about this work, about your worth and trusting yourself, is you get to go again. Just because it didn't work out, just because you didn't get the result that you wanted, do not stop, because that is not how we experiment. And that's not how we find actuals. You are in Assumptionville if you only try or do something or approach something once or a couple of times. You talk to any successful entrepreneur, any successful business leaders, they are on multiple iterations, multiple versions, multiple pivots and shifts in their career, and specifically even on a project that they're working on. It was not, we tried it once and forget it, it didn't work. Or I pitched this client, they said, no, forget it, take them out of my pipeline. No, we come back, we ask questions. What worked? What did you like? What landed? What did you find valuable? Okay, what had you say no? What was not in this presentation or in this proposal? Taking a no and walking away with no data is really leaving a lot on the table, a lot of data for you to shift and move forward into what's next or what's possible. And what if it was one thing that you were missing? They loved everything else and one thing was missing and they said no, and you just walk away with a no, when all you needed to do was add that one thing. So again, the four deep breath questions are: what worked or what's working? What didn't work or what's not working? Oh my gosh, how cool would it be in the middle of your processes if you could get a look at what's not working right now before I keep doing this thing, keep putting energy and time and money and resources, and it's not working. Okay, great. Let's shift now instead of trying to like push this boulder up a hill. What might, don't forget the word might, what might be missing? And then fourth is what now, what next? And then there's your action plan. There it is.
That was so good. Thank you for that. And I know that I told these women to grab a pen and paper, so they better have done that, because that's really good. And you guys will have access to the replay, because that was such an impactful information. I do want you to tell us a little bit of a success story of a client that you've had. Like, how did they, you know, utilize these tools, right? And start to, you know, really see actionable steps in their process, because I think it's amazing when you can talk about all these great tools, because I'm even as you were talking, I'm like, in the background, I'm like, that is so good. That is so good. Right. So I want you to just share for us like a case study or a transformational story of someone who successfully overcame this, or, you know, limiting beliefs and imposter syndrome and all of that. And what you found, what are the actions that they took that really made the difference? I really want people to understand that this is going to work if you implement the tools.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny. You know, I said, I am the guinea pig. I am the reason Self-Worth Advantage exists. And, you know, I'm 49 now, I'm almost 50. And I wish I knew this stuff so long ago, especially when I started my business, especially when I was in the dating world. Oh my gosh, girl, I used to beat myself up so much when I was in the dating world. And so, you know, what I just shared reminds me of one of my clients. She's a senior leader in a Fortune 200 company. And when she first hired me as her coach, she had just been promoted up to the GLT, the Global Leadership Team. And she was presenting her first presentation to that team. And when she came back to debrief that presentation with me, one of the things I could already tell when she came into the session, I'm like, oh, okay, great. So let's dive in. What worked? Because as a coach, we are never starting with what, tell me how you feel, or, you know, what do you want to talk about? Because when people's energy is down in the toilet or they're in compromising their self-worth, I'm not going to endorse that party. I'm going to bring them up into a state of critical thinking, into the growth mindset state. So we start with what's working. And so she shared like a couple of things. And then when we got to the what didn't work, woo, she let loose. The main thing that didn't work for her was the person she took over for, who is now her boss on the executive leadership team, asked her a question during this presentation. She didn't have the answer in the moment and started to beat herself up, lost her composure, but internally broke down. like started, you know, has anyone listening gotten the spins? Like, oh my God, I don't have the answer, but you're still presenting, but internally you're like, oh my gosh. And for me, I sweat on my nose. I sweat in my armpits when I am judging myself and compromising my self-worth. And so when we workshop that together, I started to ask her a series of questions of, okay, what did you make up about yourself in the moment? And she shared, I'm not smart enough. I wasn't prepared. I felt embarrassed. Those, you know, common things we all feel when we feel caught off guard in a public presentation, high stakes as well. And then I asked her, I was like, well, what about that is true? Is that true that you weren't prepared? Is it true that you're not smart enough? You know, you just got this massive promotion. And so when we really, really identified what it was her feeling that she didn't fit in, she didn't belong. She didn't feel like she was part of the club, if you will. And so she went into perfectionism, which is one of those five common ways. She thought it had to be perfect. If it's not perfect, I don't fit in. They're not going to respect me. I'm going to be like the outlier of the group. When we looked at it even further, because we found out that's not true, which hint, hint, most of the things your mindset or your ego is coming up with aren't true, but they are there and your ego makes those things up to protect you. Yet what your ego is doing is overprotecting you. And in that overprotection is where the fears and the limiting beliefs start to grow, because it wants to keep you small and wants to keep you out. So anytime you feel small or out, just know, okay, that's my ego trying to keep me away from my greatness. And you can get to the point where you smile at it. It's not immediate. So we looked at what is the story she makes up about needing to have all the answers? What is that about? And really, it was about her thinking, again, she needed to be perfect. And we broke down, no such thing as perfect. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're on a team for a reason. And really, the way we bridged the gap was for her to understand she's on a team. All of her results, decisions, her performance, her presentations are not a me thing. And I can't use her name, but it's not about her. The presentation is external. She is her. And the presentation was put together by her and her team, presented to a team. And so what supported her is understanding, this has nothing to do with me. Sure, I am responsible for, you know, the presentation. Yet what held her back from asking her counterpoint more questions about the question? Because she even walked out of there and she was like, I'm not even clear what the question was. I'm like, okay, so what got in the way of you getting clarity in that meeting, asking a follow-up question? And so we also found out she has an authority issue. If somebody has a higher title than her, and entrepreneurs listen, because we do this with our clients, especially clients who might spend a large amount of investment with us. And any of my founders that are listening, we do this with our investors, like, oh, they're about to, you know, invest a lot in my company. So we put them on the better than me pedestal. And so we clamor down our greatness and we forget we're also a leader. And so going back to her, I asked her what got in the way of asking the question. Oh, I didn't want to challenge him in the meeting. Or I was so caught up in my internal breakdown, thought process breakdown, that I didn't think to ask him that question. And then so we started to unpack the whole, it's called the we concept, which that's a whole thing in and of itself, is especially when you're on a team in an organization or you are building a team as a founder. And entrepreneurs, founders, you have a team. There's somebody working on your technology. There's somebody, you know, doing your accounting, unless you really are some sort of solopreneur where you're your own lawyer, your own accountant. And I highly don't recommend that, because that is not scalable. It's not bad, it's not wrong, but if you're looking for growth, it's very challenging. And so we looked at the we concept, that I am a collective, I am part of the team. And whatever I'm presenting, great, feedback. It's feedback. Oh, he asked a question I didn't know. Great. Hey, Joe, Great question. Can you tell me more about what exactly you're looking for? Because I want to take this back to my team so we can get you the specific answer you're looking for. Because 9 times out of 10, here's where our ego overprotects. We don't ask the question because we think we're going to look silly asking the question. And again, that's you compromising your self-worth. That's not Joe doing anything to you. Joe asked a question. We're in a business context environment. You're presenting data. He has questions about the data. Next piece. Joe probably didn't even understand the question he thought he wanted to answer or that he wanted answered. And now you're putting the responsibility and the ball back into Joe's hand to create clarity. And maybe by you putting the ball back in Joe's hand, you are creating the clarity you needed to actually answer the question. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, let me fast forward 2 slides. Here's the data you were asking about. Instead of staying in your pit of despair, compromising your self-worth and feeling less than or not good enough because Joe asked you a question you couldn't answer in the moment, you stay grounded in your self-worth. If it is contextual and if it is relevant, you ask a question back. Great question, Joe. Either ask a clarifying question or you simply say, what specifically about XYZ did you want to know? And let me see in this presentation if we could find that. If not, I'm going to go back to my team because great question. And I'll get back to you later today with the answer. And again, Joe gets to get responsible with his request. And I guarantee you 50% of the time, Joe throwing the ball back to Joe will create the clarity you needed from the beginning. So instead of bringing yourself down, you stay up in the game. And sure, asking the question might feel a little uncomfortable, especially if it's your first time in front of your global leadership peer team. Yet that's the game. You get to be uncomfortable. You get to take a risk in order to stay grounded in your self-worth. Otherwise, the compromising of our self-worth is a very slippery slope that can lead to a compounding effect of more and more compromising of our self-worth. And so once we started workshopping the we, because Joe is on her team, they sit on this global team and he's in the same unit as her as well. So he knows, it's not like he's an accountant and he's asking her a marketing question. They're in the same unit. And so she also get in this we concept, she also realized, wow, I'm on a team. Even the team that I lead, it's not just me. We are all collectively working together and I have experts on my team. I'm not an expert of the experts. I just lead the team and I have the experience and the talent to lead the team. So if I don't know something that one of the experts on my team knows, that's okay. That is okay. And really, that's another piece that supported her unpacking and reconciling her perfectionism, is it's okay not to have answers. You are not going to know everything all the time. Let yourself off the hook, because if you are in that space all the time, you are not in your critical thinking. You're definitely not in your growth mindset because you're unwilling to grow and learn. And you're just going to be beating yourself up. Oh my God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. When the more useful answer might be, or useful approach might be, great question, or interesting, I never thought about that, or wow, let me go talk to Roxanne on my team. That's her domain. Let me talk to her first, and then I'll get back to you so we can get a real specific answer for you. How does that sound? So just noticing the we concept for her, first identifying, what her big issue was. It was with perfectionism and authority. She put people up on pedestals that didn't need, which when she did that, she compromised her self-worth, pulled herself lower than. When all of us in life are this, there's none of this. You do this to you. There's just this. And I know our social confine and our society and the way we're all conditioned makes us think like this a lot. This whole world is designed for us to think like this. Yet you don't need to choose to think like that in any given manner. And notice if you show up with your team, your family, your spouse in this dynamic where you have people feeling like they might be compromising their self-worth. Because even though our self-worth, we are responsible for it, we're the only ones that could either be grounded in it or compromise it, the external factors, they can influence. And it is our role, it is our duty as a leader to not have people feel wrong, bad, judged, whatever that may be. Because A, they're out of their critical thinking, can't solve problems, can't make decisions, can't really, really do the work that you're paying them to do. And B, that's not the I hope that's not the kind of culture you want to create with your organization or with the company that you are putting together currently. So yeah, that's my little case study.
I was writing notes like crazy because this is so good. Thank you for that, because I know that, you know, I don't want people to think, well, that's not my case that, or that's not what, and the truth is there's a lot of self, you know, that you have to show up as. And a lot of us, I was in leadership for a long time, I had a team of 20 people. I'm very fortunate though, that I also had this really long history of being a coach, because it helped me in my leadership. Because when I didn't show up well, I recognized I didn't show up well. And I didn't blame the team. I knew it came from me. And that was hard at times to reconcile with yourself, but also very beneficial. Because when you can show up and say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. That is so good. I'm going to find that out. And that's exactly what I would do. And somebody would throw something on my plate that I'm like, oh, shoot, wait a minute. I don't know that. And then I realized, first of all, I'm human and you can't know everything. And that's the beauty of having a team or developing a team for those of you who are aspiring to be entrepreneurs or going into leadership roles. That is the beauty of it, is you get all these different minds and then you realize that everybody comes at this at a different angle. Totally. And the same way you know something they didn't know is the same way they know something you didn't know. And that's the beauty of growth in leadership. So
yeah, can I just add one thing to that? And going back to the example with Joe and my client, sometimes you do know, yet the way the person asked the question might have confused you, or you know, the interpretation was different. Mm-hmm. Again, of the diversity of how we think and how we speak and all those things, that when you take the moment to create clarity, instead of staying in the assumption, well, I don't know that, ask the question again, ask a different way. I think you're asking me about XYZ. Is that what you wanted to know?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, oh, I don't know, or beating yourself up in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because I get in the, especially with my partner, oh my gosh, we get into that quite often where I think he's asking me one thing, but when I ask again to create the clarity, I'm like, oh, okay. I thought you were asking me ABC when you were really asking me XYZ. Glad you asked. Right. And just imagine just the strength and the, I don't want to say the health, but the level that relationships can thrive on.
Yeah.
We create clarity.
Yeah.
Rather than being in this waiting pattern of assumption or self beat up, which is the imposter feelings are like coming out to play.
Yeah. Well, I really am so grateful that you accepted the invitation to come on, because I know, I mean, even like I said, like myself, I've been in leadership and personal development for like close to 20 years, and you are so wise. I was just writing down so many things because I'm like, oh, this is so good. So I really, really thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know you have clients to tend to and all that great stuff. But before I let you go, Tiffany, just in case for those who are catching it at the end or couldn't get it from the beginning, I do want to talk about your free gift, because I am going to put that link below for everyone so that they can grab it. So tell us a bit about what you are giving everyone today.
Yeah, thank you, Nina. It is a guide and a worksheet just that will share those top five common ways we compromise our self-worth. So you have a starting place to start noticing, not judging yourself, noticing, do I feel this way? And then there's a series of questions at the bottom, like a worksheet, to take yourself through identifying, understanding, and potentially reconciling if you get that deep into unpacking. But it's a one-page worksheet. It'll show you the five common ways we compromise our self-worth with a little description. These five are not new. I'm sure you've heard of all of them before. I experience all five of them at multiple, you know, moments in my life. And I wanted to share something also about, besides this free gift, another gift I want to give you is knowing there is nothing wrong or bad about feeling insecure, about feeling less than, or any of the things that I talked about today. There's nothing wrong or bad about feeling this way. It is very common. And again, it is your ego overprotecting you so that you stay in a comfort space. Because notice the things that I shared throughout today, they include a little bit of discomfort. Taking a risk is a discomfort. You know, feeling your physical self, like feel these is uncomfortable. Saying the truth is uncomfortable. Yet those risks, those discomforts are worth it because you are letting your ego know, I thank you, yet I don't need to be over, thank you for the protection, but I don't need to be over protected anymore. Or at least in this moment, because it's going to come back. And that's another thing. We never really overcome all of this, but we are able to navigate through because we now have the awareness. We have tangible terms and concepts we can map this to. And then, you know, if you're interested there, we have a whole course on this, an online course, which Nina, I'm happy to give half off to all of your listeners. And I can include that in the worksheet as well. But it's a 7-module online course that can just take you through all of this, unpacking it, reconciling it. And there are over 12 tools and exercises in there. And some of the exercises are you getting out there and actually implementing this with yourself, with the people in your life, with the people on your team, with the people in your company, to actually move past, reconcile, and resolve these feelings that 99% of the time are just made up to overprotect you.
Wow, that is so good. Thank you so much. That is so helpful. And especially because I know that a lot of the people who are going to be or are here right now tuning in are leaders and are CEOs or are even just looking at like, how do I start my own thing? And this type of inner work is so important. Ladies, you are the same at work, at home, in relationships, all of it. So that's why I love that you said that, even like with your partner, how you communicate that, because it's important that we realize that the same feelings that we feel sometimes in that corporate setting or in our business is the same way we can feel in a relationship. And I have the same thing as you. My nose beads up in sweat. You know, I get the redness or I get a little bit like choked up a little in my throat. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to listen to my body because the body keeps the score, right?
Yes.
And so you have to always like listen like, oh, that's uncomfortable. And for women, I think that's really important. You know, like there are times where you may be in a position where you may be a little bit at risk or danger, right? Your body tells you immediately like something's wrong here. And I think we should learn to listen to that. And I love that you said, when you feel that, clarify, just clarify, because you may be completely, you know, looking at this in the wrong way. And that person's literally just asking you a question because maybe they didn't understand. And so thank you for all of that and your gift and your amazing bonus gift. So I will make sure that everybody has access to you and to all of those gifts, because you are a gem and you left so many amazing, like, I'm like, pick that up. Like, too many amazing gold nuggets that are dropped in this. So thank you so much for being here and thank you for sharing your wisdom. I know this is going to help the amazing people who are listening on their journey to greatness. So I appreciate you. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. And I appreciate you, Nina. And thank you to everyone listening today. And yeah, go grab the gift, go grab the bonus gift.
Yes.
It is, you know, it took me decades to get to this point, and these gifts will have you light years ahead of me, even my clients, because we just put this framework together last year. So you'll move faster than some of our former clients as well.
So good.
Yeah.
Now, I'll have that information because I want to give them your gift and your bonus gift. But what if they want to go beyond that? Like, what if they want to work with you? Can you just share that really quick? And also, would that be in some of the bonus stuff so that they know how to work with you?
I mean, it's not going to be in the bonus stuff. Actually, if you take the course, the last module will, you know, there, of course, there's like an offer in there. But if you're interested in working with me as a coach, I also have an assessment. And it's really geared more towards leaders and founders who are looking to develop their team into a high performance team.
Okay.
But hint, hint, wink, wink, it all comes back to trust and self-worth.
Yeah.
I do have formal coaching engagements. I work with people at 6 months at a time. You can simply go to either of our websites, evolveeq.com or selfworthadvantage.com, and you can learn a little bit about that there. But if you're really ready, or you really want to know more about my coaching engagements, you can simply book a call with me on either of those websites, and we can get into a space of clarity to see exactly what it is that is in your way, because that we get to clean that up before we start working on the gold and the gems that we're picking up. We get to clean up what's in your way, clear the path. There's no reason for you to, you know, push a boulder up a hill. And plus, our goal is to create sustainability. We are not here just to like coach you and put you on. I am in touch with 82% of my clients still to this day, because I want to know how you are developing, how you are growing, what's working, what's not. And a lot of us are not still in formal coaching engagement. And to be honest, Nina, a lot of us are friends because of the depth that you get into when you are talking about your self-worth, your trust, your ability to trust, because 100% of my clients, that's what was getting in their way. They were unable to trust and really trust themselves. And so when we don't trust ourselves, we go down a slippery slope of compromising our self-worth. And so, yeah, I would love to talk to you. My calendar has specific space open for these kind of conversations. And just so you know, you will walk away with something, even if you're like, oh, the coaching engagement isn't for me. You will walk away in an extremely clear space with some action, because I will coach you on that call as well. It's not just a information exchange.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Not
into that, because that's what the site is for. I'm going to ask you real questions right away, because A, I want to know how I can serve you, and B, I want you to know if my approach is authentic and resonates with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this whole thing. And I know that everyone who is listening enjoyed it. And so for those of you who are either watching or listening, make sure that you leave comments. Okay. I know that the summit is a 21 day. It's basically like an online academy for all of you, you know, so make sure that you get your friends hopping on and, you know, really enjoying this kind of content, because this is to elevate and leverage all that you already have. Just someone is giving you the extra tools to kind of look at what that looks like. So thank you, Tiffany, for being here. I appreciate you.
You are very welcome. Thank you as well.